Couple of announcements. Our prep school is currently seeking individuals who would like to write lessons. If you would like to apply to do this, please see Georgine. Next announcement, we need some volunteers to help fill internet tape orders. It'll only be about an hour a week. If you would like to make application in this area, please see John Ritchie or Jeff Black. Okay, Doctrine of Grace. Oh, by the way, I messed up. Forgot to hand out the next doctrine. I think I'll be through with this. You don't have the doctrine of faith, do you? You have no faith. Oh, well. Okay. Point 13 on page 4, we have some descriptions of individuals who maladjust to grace. And receiving the grace of God in vain is a phase 2 aspect here, dealing with those who do not make the adjustment to God, even though they got started in the right direction. Examples in the New Testament of believers who were threatened, who had put themselves in jeopardy, who were in this category but who came out of it, are the Corinthians and the Galatians, for example. So to receive the doctrine in vain is not to make the maturity adjustment. In other words, you did not fulfill the purpose for which the grace was given you originally, was to continue on spiritually. Obviously, the plan of God allows for failure. It allows for people even a great failure, but if you do not come back from that, then of course you've received the grace of God in vain. You come up short. And the Galatians verse, fallen from grace, the whole Galatian community of believers had been taken in by legalism, false doctrine regarding the gospel. This messes everything up. Obviously, as Galatians 5:4 indicates, for you have been severed from Christ, you are seeking to be justified by law. Severed from Christ. And of course, that's the New American Standard translation of that particular verb. And this has to do with the fact that if you're a legalist and you're maladjusted to the truth, you are not, in fact, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not have a viable relationship with him. You can talk about it all you want to, but the reality is, and again, notice Paul is writing to believers whom he had firsthand experience with, people whom he had brought along spiritually from the point of taking them from paganism, darkness, to the understanding of the gospel, and who got them all on track spiritually. He left, and in the back door came the Judaizers. The Judaizers were believers who were Jewish and who came into these Gentile churches and told them that Paul's gospel was not correct. And to the extent that they were back on their heels believing this, they had been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by law. This affected even their attitude towards the gospel, and that was the first thing that was attacked. They were told that, and what we have in the world today, we have people who say that all you have to do is have faith in Christ to be saved. That's our position. And then, of course, there is the faith plus works crowd, and this is what the Galatians got suckered into. They got suckered into the notion that salvation by faith in Christ was not enough. They said, yes, your faith in Christ is okay, but Paul did not tell you everything you had to do to secure it. And then, of course, there's the third one, works only. These are the people that work their way to heaven. We're in the category that simple faith in Jesus Christ, intellectual assent, hearing the gospel saying, I believe, gives you salvation instantly. And that nothing else is required, and we try to explain all the verses that deal with, well, what about verses in the gospels that says repent and believe? We've explained that. Repent means to change your mind, not to change your mind about sinning, but to change your mind about your previous thinking, which was whatever, and you change your mind about that and believe in Christ. It's two sides of one coin, so it's not two steps, technically. faith plus works, this is what the Galatians got caught into. Momentarily, they got caught into this. So he says to them, you've fallen from grace. You have drifted off course from grace. Actually, it's a military term for, you know what it means? You're still in the military if you go AWOL, A-W-O-L, absent without leave. You're still in the military, but you're in trouble because you've gone absent without leave. So this is what believers who go off track with sound doctrine, they're absent without leave. And this is what happened to all the Galatian churches to one degree or another, and the Galatian epistle came along, and they righted themselves. They coughed up the nonsense, repented of it, said, that's goofy, that's out of line, we've been taken in. May it be a very good lesson for us for the future that all believers can be taken in, even positive believers can be influenced by false doctrine. So, fallen from grace, the legalism of the Galatian experience. You can understand the whole Galatian, not every detail in it, but you can understand the whole reason for writing Galatians was that false doctrine upset these people spiritually. They were still believers, obviously, but they were dead in their tracks. They were like a boat drifting off course. They were not on course. Doctrine puts you on course. You come short of the grace of God, Hebrews 12:15. This see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. Now, there's various ways you can come short of the grace of God. And these are a series of exhortations thrown in here. And they're not necessarily all connected, but they're all related to the healthy Christian life. That no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. So falling short of the grace of God is that someone takes an offense, they become embittered by it, and they defile others by spreading around their dissatisfaction. And many are defiled. So coming short of the grace of God, failure to acclimate to grace in the situation, and the resultant bitterness of soul, and this causes trouble, and by it others are defiled. All right, insult the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:29. The Spirit of grace is God the Holy Spirit, who makes the plan of God in all spheres of grace obvious to us. The Hebrew letter. Why was it written? Every one of you should be able to write a paragraph on it. It's been around here. Why did the book of Hebrews get written in the very first place? Because the Christians to whom it was written, these believers, living specifically and geographically in the land of Israel before the 70 AD thing, these believers were in the minority, and they lived in a religious environment, and they were persecuted severely for their faith. And there was the temptation to throw in the towel and go back to Judaism and make peace. And really, in some ways, Hebrews chapter 10 is the climax to this, in which he tells these people, now you got to remember your start with Bible doctrine, your start in Christianity was very strong, you did well, you did wonderfully, you endured all these hardships that were thrown at you, persecution of all kinds, and this kind of testing became chronic, and then it didn't go away quickly. This book was written close to the 70 AD event, in which God's plan for the believers living in the land of Israel when the Romans came in began to make their moves were to flee the country. But these Christians were right at this very important juncture in which they were considering making peace with the Jewish society, going back to the temple, going back to legalism, and going back into no second chance reversionism. No second chance reversionism is the worst one. No question about it. When you begin to repudiate in your mind doctrine you've heard. because it doesn't suit you suddenly and what you want to do, so you begin to reject the doctrine. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified? In other words, it's hard for you and I to comprehend someone so repudiating doctrine, they go back into the works-only kind of salvation of Judaistic legalism. But obviously it would take all the heat off, not from God, but from man. And that this was the temptation. You say, oh, that'd be a temptation to me to repudiate Christ. Don't think so. It's a temptation to you to repudiate doctrine. So to repudiate the person of Christ and his work and to buy into that which is totally the opposite was the threat over these Christians. And therefore you insult the Spirit of grace. It's an insult to God, the Holy Spirit, to repudiate the plan of God as centered in Jesus Christ and sound doctrine. So whenever you hear doctrine and it is taught correctly, and by the way, we're talking about sound doctrine, not just something that passes for doctrine, that it is an admixture. There's a lot of admixtures out there. There are people who have an admixture. In other words, it isn't all just air. It is truth plus doctrine all mixed together. And you go to a lot of churches, that's what you get. You get this admixture. Well, you can see he's right about that, or he's right about, or he's wrong about that. That's the admixture. And it's very, very much something that God is against, is to corrupt the content. That's why we have expressions in the Bible that talk about sound doctrine, sound wisdom. This is presumably you're in an environment where the truth that you are taught is at such a very high level and so clear that you can understand all the particulars and the issues of the Christian life. 14, the Lord is the supreme example of grace because he was totally aware of and committed to all truth. Jesus Christ, as a person, did not need saving grace. He didn't need rebound grace. He understood the doctrine, but because he did not have to make the salvation adjustment, he did not have to make the rebound adjustment, but he did have to make the maturity adjustment in his humanity. In his humanity, he did not have to make the first two adjustments, but he had to make, and he did make, the third adjustment. His humanity did not come forth from the womb totally informed about the plan of God. Jesus Christ grew in wisdom as a man. It says here that the experience of the disciples, when they came in contact with Christ, is they came in contact with what he calls here the Word. And the Word became flesh. We know what that's a reference to. It's the incarnation. The Word, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, entered into a relationship with true humanity. Doctrine, hypostatic union. And dwelt among us. He lived among the human race, and we saw his glory. Not that glory, the glory that you would recognize with the scintillating brightness of light, but we saw his glory, glory as of the only or the uniquely begotten from the Father, and he describes him as full of grace and doctrine, truth. Christ was full of grace and doctrine. He exhibited these qualities or characteristics. Notice the combination of grace and truth here. And also 19, and also verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the law of Moses, and the law of Moses pointed to the grace of God that would be provided for the human race, phase 1 and phase 2. So Jesus Christ epitomizes grace orientation. And he is the example for all of us in this connection. You would think someone who is perfect and without sin would be very high and mighty around people. But he was not. He related to them like he recognized they were. People who had failures. So he was full of grace and truth. He did not compromise doctrine, but he treated people in grace. Israel's election is based on grace. Romans 11, called an election of grace. And we have a whole doctrine on election and calling and foreknowledge and all that business. And most of you should be able immediately in your frame of reference to know the particulars here. God from eternity past foreknew those he elected to the eternal salvation. He foreknew who would believe and set up a plan. Again, New Testament exhortations regarding grace. A, we are to grow in grace and knowledge. This is our MPR responsibility. I can't help you out if you're not here, obviously. So I can't do anything for you as a believer if you're not here listening to the information. You are to grow, and I grow in my orientation and capacity for God's grace as we grow in grace and knowledge. So both aspects must be there. Understanding, having the working material, the knowledge of God's plan, and then the grace aspect. Notice how the two are put together again in 2 Peter 3:18. This is should be the MPR of your life. The MPR of your life should be the intake of the Word of God in the local church, the classroom of Christianity. This is a part of the knowledge factor. The Bible tells us, the knowledge of the Bible tells us that you are to affiliate yourself with a local church under the gift of pastor, teacher, and be a part of a local body. So your spiritual gift, among other things, so your spiritual gift can function. Your human body has various parts to it. Your big toe does you no good if you hack it off and throw it across the room. It needs to be attached to your body. What does this mean in the local church? A team has people on it, and they all serve their particular functions. So you need to be a part of a local church. You can call this, you can accuse me of being self-serving or anything you want to. In other words, believers are not to be out here running around all over the place, disassociated from a local assembly. Take a believer who is pursuing a career that moves them all around, and they're not a part of a local church. And also, you're supposed to be a part of that knowledge teaches you that you're supposed to find and sit under face-to-face your right pastor. That means you have to make sacrifices. If there's no adjusted local church in Denver, and your job says, let's go to Denver, and you run off to Denver, and you disconnect yourself from your local assembly, this is the most important thing. Responsible people don't just up and quit their jobs, blow off their job. They don't do that. Responsible people don't do that. Responsible person gets themselves in a geography where you can be under a pastor teacher. And since there is not an adjusted pastor teacher in every community and every place, you must find that place and humble yourself and be a part of that assembly. If it's a poor church and you're the richest person in the community, then you're supposed to be a part of that church. You're supposed to humble yourself. And you associate with the positive volition that is in that area. These are the people that is the ground for your intimate fellowship. Positive volition. Not negative volition. You're not to be friends of the cosmos. You're not to treat the cosmos rudely. You go to work with the cosmos. You may associate with them at a certain level, but you do not fraternize with them on a social level. And I don't care if the cosmos is your blood brother, your mother, or anyone else. You are to fellowship with positive volition, be a part of a local church, apply towards negative volition, those that are negative to the plan of God, the doctrine of separation. And I don't know why you want to be around negative volition anyway. They're not that interesting, and all they're full of is human viewpoint. And plus, it doesn't glorify God. So you identify with positive volition. People whine, say, I don't have any friends at Maranatha. Well, that's your problem. That's your fault. It isn't my fault. It's your fault. You should gravitate towards people who are positive. And if there's not one person in your age bracket that you can be a, quote, friend with, then that is your cross to bear. That is simply your cross to bear. You walk it alone. God will provide for you fellowship with positive volition. Maybe he wants you to fellowship with more grown-up people. That's just your test. When you step into the arena of Bible doctrine, you follow the Lord and you separate from the camp the camp of organized religion. That's in Hebrews 2. We came out of the camp to identify ourselves with the Son of God and with sound doctrine. And that also means you need to separate from all these knot-headed religious types that are running around and people around here who have rejected doctrine, rejected authority, and rejected teaching. I don't mean by that. I never said that you treat people rudely. You treat them in grace, but you treat them with salt and grace and firmly, and this is the way it is. You have to recognize that this principle, that positive volition, and I don't mean that you just fellowship with people that are as spiritually advanced as you are. I mean people that has this basic commodity. They're positive to Bible doctrine. And you associate in a local church, and we need the function of your spiritual gift. We've had a few people leave us, as you probably noticed. So, some of you have been challenged to step up and fill in these slots. And that's what I ask of you, that you pray about it, and you fill in any of those slots that are missing, and you so that this body can continue to function as it has been over the years. And that you devote yourself to what is important, being in and a part of the local assembly where you receive your spiritual food and are built up in the teaching of the Scripture. We're going to soon move into the book of James. We're getting there. But in any case, you are to find yourself under your right pastor. You don't have two of them. You don't have three of them. You have one at a time. And that's doctrine's been under attack. Well, fine. So attack the doctrine. It will not change. The fact is that you identify with your shepherd, you get in the local church, you get under his authority and under his teaching, and if he's teaching sound doctrine, you will go to maturity, and that's all you should be able to ask for. To grow up, to become a mature believer in time. We are to be strong in the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. Another imperative. We're to be strong in this grace. We are not to compromise it for any legalists or anybody on the other extreme of the spectrum. Be strong in grace. Some of you are very strong in grace. Some believers around here haven't been strong in grace. Speaking to a pastor, Paul says to his protege Timothy, "You therefore, my son," this is his spiritual son in the faith. Timothy was younger than Paul. Paul raised him spiritually. And so he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." In Christ is the sphere of this grace. Christ is everything to us, provides everything for us, so that we as a church can understand this grace. So it isn't distorted. This grace doesn't say everyone's going to be saved. This grace only says that it's available to everyone to be saved. And it's available for everyone to make the adjustments to God. That's what grace says. Grace doesn't say God in the end is going to save everybody. That obviously isn't the teaching of the Bible. Grace is defined by doctrine. We are to take our stand in this grace. We mostly have to fight the legalists who want to subvert it. So to be strong in it means just exactly that. To take your stand in doctrine and make the applications that are compatible with the grace of God. I don't think that person ought to be in the church. They failed. They've repented. They're on track. They have as much right as you have. And the pastor therefore defends that right. To be with it spiritually and to be on track spiritually. And all believers should support one another in their quest to go to maturity, because all of us are going to have different patterns, different areas of weakness, different failures, different shortcomings. We all are. But we are to be together, and we are to come together. And hopefully we will come together in this, what I believe to be the final push of this dispensation, because we are in the rapture generation. And we have established all of that through knowledge. Not just wishful thinking and emotionalism, but based on the knowledge of what the Bible has to say about the end of this dispensation. So the information is there, and it's your opportunity to continue on with this. I need your support, and you need mine. We are to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, we are to continue in the grace of God. Continue in the grace of God. We were taught grace. We were taught that God has forgiven us of all of our sins, constituted us a people of God, and that after salvation, we will fail. This is the Galatian churches before their reversionistic tailspin, from which they recovered, by the way. That's good news. They got taken in by false teachers. One of the big threats to you is false teachers. By the way, make it your prayer that God will put you and keep you, or you will get a pure form of doctrine and not something that is not that at all. A lot of things that are out there today are inaccurate in the name of doctrine. And so what you're going to have to figure out is, well, how do I know you're teaching the truth? Well, you don't until you sit here and I prove the points to you and illustrate and continue to go through the passage and compare Scripture with Scripture to determine right where the doctrine lies. Rather than having your eyes on men, you have your eyes on what doctrine says. You get it through men, obviously. Acts 13:13. That one's right. Okay. The wrong scripture there. Forget that. The Galatian churches, they did continue in the grace of God after Paul's ministry. There's no doubt I just cited that wrong. Anyway, sorry about that. Again, we have stand firm in it. Believers are under persecution from the cosmos. Do not throw away doctrine when you're under pressure and under persecution and under attack. Well, there's a bunch of salutations and benedictions in the epistles. This is the introduction to the letters, the opening statements to the letters, like a greeting, following the format of letters of the ancient world. And in these wonderful words that form the doctrines that we understand are found, as well as in the concluding benedictions, of the letters. So the letters will start with a statement about grace. So from it we can realize that in the early church, these terms and these words are very important to these believers. As in Romans 1:7, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called saints. The letter was written to all Christians in the Roman metropolis. This letter was written by Paul to the believers he had never had any acquaintance with, direct acquaintance. He writes as an apostle to the beloved of God in Rome. There is not one believer in Rome that was not in this category. They are all loved of God. God loves all his people. Called saints. All believers are saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These things come to us through God. God gives us the grace. When you rebound, God forgives you. God provides grace in your life to deal with every situation, no matter how difficult. He provides you with the doctrine and the grace to get through anything that could potentially be before you. Otherwise, how can doctrine work if that's not the case? 1 Corinthians 1:3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:1-2. All the letters, you don't see other things involved in that you see these principles brought out. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Written, by the way, to Christians who, these things are said to Christians who had it together, Christians who had problems. Same principles. Grace and peace to you. And all that has to be defined because there's different aspects of grace as there was different aspects of peace. What would he say to the Galatians? He'd say the same thing. Same type of encouragement to these believers. Galatians 1:3. Grace to you and peace. That's miswritten. It's 1:3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this letter was grace to the Galatians. The Galatians had stubbed their toe. They were in trouble spiritually, but there was grace for them. The grace was the Galatian letter, which they responded to. So there's grace for you in your time of need. And what one area of it? It's doctrine to help correct your thinking. That's a part of God's grace in your life. Because all of us need doctrine to correct our thinking. Because we entertain ideas and concepts that aren't quite right. So we need the doctrine to clarify it. We may even get way out there. The doctrine is there. That's a part of God's grace. Ephesians 1:2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. This was common in Paul's salutations. The benedictions or the closing remarks of the letters also sign off with grace. As there is a lot of the letters mentioned here, pretty much all of them mention grace in the sign off. And since I didn't hand out the doctrine of faith, we will stop early today. Sorry about that. I forgot to tell them to stick it out there, so it's not my fault. Their fault. It's my fault. So the last verse in the Bible deals with grace. Revelation 22:21. The letter written to the churches, to whom that was originally written, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Or I believe it. So Tuesday night we will take up the doctrine of faith. Remember, I'm sure that the classes will still be going on for some time, the next 15 minutes or so, so that you will be patient about that. Let them finish their teaching and wait for your children. That's what you get for having children. You get to wait and till the little darlings are through being taught the doctrine they need so that they can exhort you and you can exhort them and know the same thing. So let's conclude our Bible class with a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful that we have the opportunity to assemble ourselves together, that you continue to provide for positive volition in these last days. And we recognize that the negative volition of the many does not overturn the positive volition of the few, that you continue to stand by your truth and by those who adhere to it. We pray that you will watch over each of us, protect our positive volition, help us to recognize that the enemy will come against us and try to dislodge us, the enemy from within and from without, from this truth that we have learned. Keep us and watch over us as we go forth from here in Christ's name. Amen.